Good morning to each one of you. Been blessed being here already this morning again, and praise the Lord for it, the opportunity that we have. I was, just been blessed with Brother Dan's opening there. As I had to think, we all individually play a part in having unity. We all individually play a part in it. I was thinking in the military, if one soldier would decide to break ranks and go do his own thing, it's not going to work. I don't know how many of you have heard Brother Barry's testimony, but he got kicked out of the Marines because he wouldn't blend in. They couldn't break his will. They couldn't do nothing with him, and he got kicked out. And so I had to think of that. We all individually play a part in it. I have a choice. I can hinder unity in the spirit, or I can add to it. So just a thought I had that I thought I would share. So it's good to be back home. I was gone all week. I was up in Millington, Michigan, teaching at a Bible school. They had given me the subject of laying up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And so I had a rich week this week, but it's good to be back home and be with the family again. And so before we begin, why don't we rise and have a word of prayer? Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we bless you and praise you for your many benefits towards us, Lord. Your mercies are new again, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather, and we just ask that you would bless your word, Lord, that I could speak clearly your word and convey your word, Lord, and just pray that our hearts would be open to receive it. And Lord, we just ask that you would bind up the enemy, Lord, that he would have no powers to snatch away the word, but that your word could fall on fertile ground. Lord, we commit this service into your hand, and we just invite your presence, Lord, as we sang that song, move in our midst, Lord. Your presence, we need your presence. We need your spirit to move in our midst, Lord, that we just don't try of our own selves to pick ourselves up in that bucket, Lord, but that we submit ourselves to you and that you have preeminence in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you do and that you will and you want to. And Lord, help us to just continually resign our will and say, not my will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, just a little bit of a recap. The first message, I just laid out the importance of and the responsibility that we as parents have to teach our children, to inspire us to be faithful, to be diligent, not to be faint, by the way, in teaching them. And a week ago, I had shared on, the trials that we face in raising family and teaching them not to get weary in well-doing. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. And so today, I've titled the message, Discernment and Faith-Based Choices. The scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so I felt like the Lord has impressed this upon my heart. We need faith for salvation. We need faith to walk the Christian life. But I also need faith to raise my family. And I need to walk in faith with that. And the Lord blesses faith. And so faith always moves people to action. And our children need to see a life of faith. They need to see faith in action every day of our life. And so passing faith along to our children. And so I've titled the message, Discernment and Faith-Based Choices, Making Faith-Based Choices for Our Children. And we'll start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, very familiar verses. The writer says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so, here we read in this passage in verse 7 that Noah was warned of things to come, things that were never seen before. God told Noah that there was rain, that it was going to rain, that it was going to cover the whole earth. It was going to rain so much, the whole land was going to be covered, even to the highest mountain. Now, they never saw rain before. And this was probably a little hard for them to grasp their mind around it. This was something that was never seen before. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. This was never seen by anyone in history before. There was nothing recorded in history of this. And so it was of things as not seen yet. And so Noah made a choice here simply based on faith for his family's future or its well-being. His decision to build the ark was totally by faith. And many of us, we have made faith-based choices for our lives and for our families when we were converted and the Lord did a work in our heart. But these faith-based choices need to continue all the days of our life. And so with that, Noah was warned of things as not seen of yet. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1. And Paul encourages us here in Philippians that we would make choices that are based on faith here, I believe. Verse 8 of chapter 1, Philippians, I'm going to read. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And so here, in verse 9, he's praying that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And that word judgment is discernment. If you look it up in your concordance and Vines, it's discernment, that word, in verse 9. And then he goes on to say that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And this is why that he's praying that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Why? So that they may approve things that are sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Because our choices have consequences. Our choices and so we make choices that there won't be no offense in the day of Christ. And so Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Approving things that are excellent, testing this decision. That word proving means simply to test. What kind of effect will this decision that I am making today for my family have on me and my family 20 years from now? testing it, proving it. For example, David, when he was there before Saul, where he said that he will go and fight Goliath, and he was there putting on Saul's armor, and 1 Samuel 17:38-39 says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go." So he started to go. "For he had not proved it or tested it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him." I mean, this was a normal way for any man of war back then to go to war, that they would put on the helmet, they would put on the shield and everything. And David starts to go, and his discernment kicks in. He says, this is never going to work. I am not used to this. And he puts it off. And so we see, you know, there sometimes are things, you know, maybe that are, I mean, this was the way they did things, but it was not going to work for him. His discernment told him, I will fail in this. And so he made a faith-based choice here that he's going to go in with his slingshot and with his stones. And so judgment is discernment. And he's encouraging us here to abound in all judgment. As our love for God and one another abounds, there will also be knowledge and discernment. And I would like to spend a little time here just on the subject of discernment. Jesus, he rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, "You hypocrites, you can discern the sky or discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the times?" He says, you can look at the sky and you can discern it. You can look at the earth and you can discern it, but how about the times? And we are also living in dangerous times, and we need to be able to discern the times that we live in to make faith-based choices that will have a positive outcome, that we may be without offense at the day of Christ. And so Jesus rebuked them because they were not able to discern the times. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14-15 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man is always going to, as we heard, it's just something that naturally happens. There's no discernment there. "But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And so a spiritual man needs to have discernment. And just share this, we need to encourage you as fathers and mothers to have discernment in your homes with your children. There are many things that are not spelled out in the scriptures that you should not do this, or you shouldn't have this, or go to this place. But notice, we are to approve things that are excellent. Verse 10, we are to approve things. We are to test them. If I do this in my home, what's going to be the outcome of it? Test it, it says. "Not all things will leave you sincere and without offense in the day of Christ. The scripture says, whatsoever a man be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption." And so not every little detail is spelled out, but do we test it to the Word of God? And even sometimes history of men who have tried these things, and they and it has proven over and over and over to fail. Why do we want to pick up the same thing and make the same mistake? We can learn even from history of men and women who have gone this way or done things this way and learn instead of just picking up and making the same mistake. Sometimes children or even adults ask the question, what's wrong with this or that? The question is, have you proved it like David did? What will the outcome of it be? Turn with me, if you'd like, to Genesis chapter 27, verse 20. Genesis 27, verse 20. Here's Isaac. He's in his old age, and he's wanting to bless Esau here. And we know the story. Jacob got the blessing. Now I'm going to start reading verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And notice verse 23, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed them. And notice here, it points out here that Jacob did not discern. And we know that that was God's heart there, that he got the blessing. But yet, there's many, it caused a lot of strife between the brothers there. But I just want to point out, it specifically mentions that Jacob or Isaac did not discern. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. It says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so here, it encourages us that our senses should be exercised, that we can discern both good and evil. And so it takes a lot of discernment as parents and raising our children. That word senses means the faculty of perception, the capacity for spiritual apprehension. Notice, we can become even more discerning by reason of use, it says. You become skilled in a trade by reason of use, right? A good seamstress becomes becomes a good seamstress by reason of use. And a good cook becomes a good cook by reason of use. A cabinet maker, construction, you can take it on and on. The plumber, he becomes good, and so I just want to encourage you, you know, it says both, that you may be able to discern both good and evil. And it comes by a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Those who have a strong relationship and are in the word, it says that of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So approving things that are excellent. Sometimes children ask to do something and you have a check in your spirit, but don't exactly know why. And your discernment, you're just feeling like you should say a no, and maybe the child is having a hard time accepting it, but later on, down the road, it is revealed why. Has anybody ever have that happen to them? Down the road, maybe a week or two, or maybe later, it's revealed. See, that is discernment. That's in tune with the Spirit of God. And so we need to be able to, God desires to speak to us in that way. Sometimes we don't know why. When you just did that, you just approved something that was excellent because of discernment. Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, "A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Just want to read a couple verses here. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. Solomon here, I believe, was the writer of Proverbs. He's talking about the strange woman. And verse 6, he says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement." So Solomon here, he's looking out the window, and he's going to see. He's going to tell us what he sees. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth. So here was a group of young people, I guess. Youth here is plural. I'm open for correction. It's not. And out of that group of young people, he goes, he discerned a young man void of understanding. He could pick him out, he says. "Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." So he had discernment. And we need discernment with our children. Discernment is one of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. But I think it's a gift most churches don't allow to function in their congregations in our day. Discernment is a gift of the Spirit, and so I encourage us as churches, let's, as we heard this morning, we care one for another, and we want to have unity. Let us as churches allow that gift of discernment work among us. You know, a lot of times what happens, you know, if a brother does have a concern or is discerning something, you know, we want to break ranks, you know, and don't allow the gift of discernment to speak into our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "To prove all things, hold fast that which is good." We should prove, test all things, hold fast on that which is good. Is the choice that I am about to make based on the flesh, or is it based on the Spirit of God leading me? Small choices lead to big things. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, understands something about small things. Small packages being delivered from house to house, day after day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, has made him one of the wealthiest people in the world and has a thriving business called Amazon. Jeff, he understands the cause and effect of small things. I don't understand how they can deliver a small package, $5 item to your door and make money. I haven't figured it out yet. But he has understood the value of people's small choices. He has figured people out. And so I just want to encourage us today, have discernment. And let's look at now making some faith-based choices. Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. We have Moses here. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses here is living in the king's palace. It's a life of royalty. Probably anything a person could possibly want is at the tips of his fingers. The food, the royal clothing, anything. He's Pharaoh's daughter. He's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. All the pleasure that he could possibly want is at the tips of his fingertip. All the sin that he wants to enjoy is at the tip of his fingertip. Notice there, the enjoy the pleasures of sin. It's just part of the royal life in the palace. The freedom to enjoy sin to its fullest, it's there. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so here you have all the wealth you could possibly want was there. Maybe even the possibility of being Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt someday. But Moses made some choices based on faith. Look at verse 24. We have the son. You have the word he refused. That's to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And so we see Moses looking into eternity and seeing Christ and making a faith-based choice and making a decision for his life that is going to alter the course of his life and his eternity. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, most people like to look at the present here and now when they make choices. When we make choices for our families, we need to follow Moses' example in verse 27 here, as seeing him who is invisible. I'm sure some of you have seen this illustration. Some of you maybe have not. But I'll just use it here. Again, you know, that's the dates you see on a tombstone. Many people make their choices based on this life. That line is about that long. But Moses made his choice looking into the invisible, to his long home, into eternity. And so when we make choices for our homes and for our families, let's look into here, the future, seeing him who's invisible, instead of looking to the here and now, what's going to feel good presently, and what's going to maybe please the flesh now. Look at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were seeing them afar off. Here, they were looking into here, afar off. And we're persuaded of them. Are we persuaded of it here? Or is the presence of this life too overwhelming? Are we persuaded as we look into the afar off? And embrace them, it says. They embraced it. They looked into eternity, their long home, and they embraced it. And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And then look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they, we're in there. If we're mindful of that, we have all the opportunity to return. We come out of this, and into this. If we're going to be here and mindful of this, we can leave this and go back, he says. And so I just encourage you, make choices based on faith-based choices for your family, looking into eternity. Fathers and mothers, the choices you make, you will reap from them with your family. Philippians says, approve things that are excellent, that you may be without offense till the day of Christ. You know, my business choices, do they take too much time away from the family? You know, our work should, we should make faith-based choices even around our work, that we are making choices that will affect our family's future in a positive way. It says, by faith, Moses rejected the treasures of Egypt. Most people cannot handle riches. Riches and pleasures go hand in hand, and Moses rejected them. Luke 8:14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And so, riches and pleasures simply have a way of not bearing the right fruit if that's what we're giving our heart and life to. If we make choices to raise our children in riches and pleasures, it's not going to bring forth the right fruit. And so I just encourage, let's make faith-based choices. I have a couple grape vines there in my house, and every year I go out, there's some grapes on it that are not bringing fruit to perfection. They're dried up and shriveled, and they're no good. You know, they're real small. They're not to perfection, and that's what riches and the pleasures of this life will do to your children. And so let's not pursue that. Let's seek the kingdom of God. I recently talked to a father who said in the last year in his work, he had had him traveling 95% of his time. And he was gone overnight many a times, and he was trying to change that. That type of work will not bring forth right fruit in your family. You as a father are gone 95% of the time. The choices, you know, making faith-based choices on the music that you as a family will listen to will affect your eternity. Base your choices by looking to Him who's invisible. Let's look at three young men who made a faith-based choice on the music they were going to worship with. I realized they were to fall down and worship the image or God Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach. Okay, I should back up here. Verse 12, I'm sorry. He says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so they were surrounded by men of renown. They were rulers. They were men that were in position. And here are these three men, when they were commanded to fall down and worship this God, when this music played, they made a faith-based choice on what they were going to do. They were looking to Him who's invisible. They weren't looking into the presence right now, life, because, you know, it's very uncomfortable to the flesh, but they feared Him here, looking into to the one who's invisible. And so, you know, their music, most music has gods attached to it. You know, this image, they were to worship this God when this music played. And so they made a faith-based choice. And we go to verse 16 and 18. Again, they make a faith-based choice. He's giving them a second chance. And look at their answer here in verse 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So again, they get a second chance, and they still make a faith-based choice. They are looking into eternity to the one who is invisible. And so music is a big one. If you as a family are not listening to godly music that worships the King of Kings and Lord of Lords only, it's not going to lead you to him but to other gods. Remember, what we take into our ears is going to mold us into who we are. Faith comes by hearing. Talking to a man on the phone who I witnessed to a couple months ago, and he keeps calling on a regular basis and having conversations with him. And a month or so ago, he just called and said he's being tempted. And he says he gets home from work and he likes to put some meat on the smoker in the back porch and just turn on some music and listen. But when he does, he gets tempted. And I ask, what kind of music are you listening to? And he told me, and there was no wonder. And so I just shared with him. And I sent him some good hymns to listen to. And so music has an effect to us. You know, it has gods attached to it. We serve unknowingly, you can serve other gods by according to the music you listen to. For example, if I'm witnessing at a country concert, most, you know, are in tight-fitting jeans, cowboy boots, and cowboy hats. They're worshiping the god of country. And many rock bands have their dress with demonic pictures on it. It's because they're expressing who their god is. And so, when professing Christians take the same music and put Christian words to the music, I see it have the same effect. And so, I just encourage us, you know, let's make faith-based choices with the music we listen to. It will affect generations to come. Even the clothes we wear, make faith-based choices. The impact of friendships, make faith-based choices. Get your children excited about the things of the Lord, things of God. Just living life isn't going to raise soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make choices to teach them to sing when they are young and to make avenues for them to bless others with singing. Help them to pass out tracts. They start to get excited. They get excited what dad and mom get excited about. If we are excited about business, we're probably going to make businessmen. If we're excited about the things of this life, we're going to raise I don't even want to say Christians, because the Bible says he will spew them out of his mouth. I want to, you know, look at Timothy, an evangelist and a pastor traveling with Paul on his missionary trips, making faith-based choices to steer our children in the direction of the kingdom of God. You have Philip the evangelist, has four daughters, and they have a guest at their house. So you have the Apostle Paul and his company. I don't know how many there are, but it says that they were there for many days. And they're ministering words of life to Paul. It'd be a blessing to just be able to hear what all they were sharing. But Paul and his company, where they were so inspired by these four young ladies that he wrote about them in the scriptures, and it was a blessing to them. And then there's excitement in the house. about the kingdom of God. And then another visitor shows up, and he's the prophet Agabus, and he comes into the house and starts prophesying and takes Paul's girdle and has an interesting object lesson in their home. And so I don't believe that these four young ladies, that there was a boring moment in their life. There was excitement. There's excitement in the Christian life, and there's things that happen. I know you young people, you like excitement, and there's exciting things that happen as you live a vibrant Christian life. It's not just a humdrum thing. And so I'm here today to encourage you to make faith-based choices. Prove things that are excellent. Do our children see faith in action? Do my children? You know, it's not just a one-time thing. I make a choice, get converted, and find a group of like-minded believers. But every day of my life, do my children see faith in action? In Hebrews 11 there again, verse 14 says this, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Declaring plainly. Do we declare plainly that we are citizens of the kingdom of God? Or do we declare plainly that I am a citizen of this world? Do I declare plainly by... Does my life show faith-based choices? And so Noah, he made a decision based on eternity. And this morning, I want to encourage every one of us to make choices. You know, in our training, children, teaching, let's use God's principles. There's a new... I don't know if it's so new anymore, but it's maybe creeping in some, is called a psychologist came up with. It's called gentle parenting. I don't know how many of you have heard of it, but, you know, they're using other methods than what the Bible teaches us. Basically, you try to reason with the child. 1-2-year-old, you don't hold him accountable. You just try to reason with him, which we do that, but you never use punishment, but you just try to get him to see the results of his actions instead of, and basically, you know, the scripture says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You know, we are in charge, and we need to give correction to our little children. And so, you have little Johnny and he spills a coffee. I just read one thing. Instead of, you know, he spills a coffee onto something. Instead, you know, you get something else where he can spill that's, you know, into a sink and be more edifying instead of that there, you know. If he wants to play, not to spill the coffee onto something he shouldn't, but taking, and it's just a lot of weird things, But we make faith-based choices by going to the scriptures to train our children, not all these new ideas. You know, some of them can be a blessing. I'm not saying that, you know. We do reason. We are patient. We do those things. But let's just not grab hold of every new thing that comes in, but let's make faith-based choices. So I'm going to close with that. God bless you all for listening. I know there's probably a whole lot more could be shared on the home, but I pray that you are inspired, and if someone else has more to share and more, I realize I probably didn't get too practical, you know, as I've heard some teachings, but... someone else has a message that they want to get really practical and invite them to share it. So God bless.